Take your hymnals, number 283. 283, let's stand and sing. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. 283. Sing out tonight now.
I have found His praise is all complete. His triumph every need. While I said a word that Jesus made, I am free and free indeed. His joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. His joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, has never yet been told.
Thank you.
prayer for that. Well, we've got some visitors tonight. Steve will mention them in just a few moments. But let's stand. We're going to give you a chance to go around, shake hands with folks, give the choir a chance to come down. Find your place, and Brother Steve's going to come. Steve and Brian with the announcements.
Thank you, Brother Tim, so much.
Well, everybody knows where the pastor is up in Monroe, North Carolina. I learned about that today. I think they spell it wrong or pronounce it wrong, either one. But I think it is Monroe. I mean, that's like Monroe, but anyway. But I talked with Pastor a little bit ago, and he said they had a great service this morning. And he said, how was it at Anchor this morning? I said, it was just great. At least I thought it was. I appreciate all the kind words and the compliments. And had a big crowd here this morning. And good. I see a lot of them didn't come back tonight, but that's okay. And I guess who's here? We are. And I'm thankful that the Lord, that my personal Jesus put a desire in my heart to be at church. So praise the Lord for that. And so we're good to be back. Continue to pray for Christy Todd. Brother Shelton is home tonight preparing for something tomorrow. I think Shelton's having a colonoscopy, I think, and a lot of us have been through that before, and we all pray for Brother Shelton tonight. And him and Christy. Did I miss anybody that really needs prayer? Anybody think of anybody? Mine's just kind of going blank right now, but I do pray one for another. We are glad to have visiting tonight Bruce and Amanda Stewart. And he told me that Brother David Foote said to say hello. Well, you just tell Brother Foote hello. And you're looking at this building, brother. Brother David Foote painted this place. And well, we sure will forever be grateful to Brother David for that. And he often watches the live stream, by the way, so he could be watching right now. I'm not sure what time their church is up there, but if that's where you get to sermon ideas, yeah. Lord, I hope you don't listen tonight. And but anyway, Brother Bruce, why don't you come up here for a moment, and we'd like to hear a little bit about you and your wife and your child there, and introduce them and give us a word about what the Lord's doing with you, okay?
Sure. you.
My name's Bruce. My wife, Amanda, and our daughter, Belle, is here with us. And we are missionaries with Silent Word Ministries International. We are going to the country of Gabon, Africa. Gabon, Africa does not have a Bible preaching church, does not have a Baptist church, does not have a Baptist missionary currently. We will be the first ones. And so we are looking at going there and starting the first Baptist church in the country and really being the first group getting in there since about 1912, before I was born. I'm not going to give myself away. But we do work with the deaf. We work with we've worked with deaf in Ivory Coast a little bit, some in Liberia, some in Cameroon, just to see the works of the ministry that are there. And we work with the deaf there in Gabon. There are about 2,000 of them in the capital city alone. Most of them cannot get to the only one school for the deaf in the country. So there's a work definitely that is there. Our focus still, though, is church planting, Bible preaching, and discipleship. If you were to look at missions in Africa for the longest time, the only ones that are in existence now are those that discipled. You want to look at a lot of different works that have been brought up. Unless you train another generation to take on the work after you, it will fall. And it will fail. Someone once said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, who's training those leaders? You look at Moses. Who did Moses train? Who did Moses train? Joshua, thank you. Someone read their Bible this morning. I'm teasing. I hope you did. Who did Joshua train? What happened? Hey, history repeats itself. It can be a good thing or a bad thing. We disciple through personal one-on-one discipleship, taking them to the marketplace with us, taking them to the store with us, just living our lives with them, show them how a Christian ought to live, how a Christian ought to read their Bible, how a Christian ought to witness, and to train up that next generation. Our goal is to have a Bible-preaching indigenous Baptist church there in the country that'll carry on long after the missionary's gone. I don't want to send Africans back here to the States to raise support. I want them to reproduce over there. I want them to reach their own people. I want them to go into the villages and the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray for us? My wife, again, me, Bruce, my wife, Amanda, our daughter, Belle. We are going to the deaf and hearing in the country of Gabon, Africa, starting the first work in many, many years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. And we love mission work around here, I tell you what. And let me commend you on your faith promise giving. I'm just excited every Sunday to see that come in. And keep it up, and God will bless you and bless us and bless many mission works around the world through the giving of Anchor Baptist Church. We appreciate that so much. Brian, you come up here and give us a word or two.
Just real quickly, so you don't forget, Saturday, 10 a.m. is Sowing Saturday, door knocking for our men and young men to get out here in the highways and hedges and compel people to come to Jesus. So it's 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and while we're doing that, the ladies will be here having their Ladies Jubilee planning meeting. Again, at 10 o'clock Saturday morning right here. One announcement we want to make is that anybody who's going on that cruise next year? There's like a travel agent somewhere around here that's signing all kinds of people up. The Singing at Sea, okay? If that's you, then I've been told to tell you that forms and deposits are due to Miss Bethany next week, next Sunday. Okay? If you have any questions about the forms or whatever, see her. And don't forget about Love Sunday. Next Sunday, special day right here in the House of the Lord, we'll be honoring our senior saint, and we'll be having fellowship after the evening service. So y'all come.
A word about door knocking Saturday. If you are a young man, we could use you. We found a place that has about 800 apartments. All we're doing is putting flyers in the doors, and we've covered about two-thirds. We've passed out 320 tracks last time. And even Dante got tired of climbing to the third floor. So if that gives you an idea, there's probably about 200 or so left. We could use them young men who can climb three flights of stairs, okay? Not just us old guys. Number 348, where can I go but to the Lord? Let's stand again. 348. Sing out now. Living below. Yeah. singing. You can be seated.
All right, thank you very much. I enjoy walk from up here watching Dante to sing. He sings so seriously. Look on his face. I like that. And I believe he means what he sings. And so good job, Dante. Good job. All right, time for offering tonight. If you weren't able to give your tithe or offering this morning, you have that opportunity right now. So Joaquin and John, come on up here and get that out. Now, again, we mention it time and time again, but if you want a record of whatever you're giving, you've got to put it in an envelope or write a check or something. You just put money in the thing, say, well, I want that to go so-and-so. How are we supposed to know about that? And we can't. So be sure you mark it. And a lot of folk turned in Ladies Jubilee money today. That was a blessing. A bunch of people turned in Faith Promise Giving. A bunch of people turned in tithe. And so a real blessing. So you give tonight as the Lord has laid upon your heart, okay? All right, Brother John, you open it. Lead us in prayer. Amen.
Before Brother Steve comes back tonight with a message, we have some young people coming to sing for us. I love they get together after the service and Brian plays for them.
Good.
Supposed to be two, and they recruited two more, and one didn't show up, but that's okay. Three of them are going to sing for us tonight.
Thank you, Brother Tim, so very much. I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel. And we'll pick up there in just a little bit. 1 Samuel. One of the greatest joys in my life these past many years has been the ministry at the nursing homes. And we promote the ministries on the board up here on Sundays and encourage you to pray for us and if you can and feel like it, to come help us. And we appreciate those that come and take with us. And there's a lot of joy doing that.
as often as we can. And there's three or four reasons I wrote down here why I enjoy it so much. And one is the blessing of encouraging saints. The folk at the nursing homes, they're almost like forgotten people. And they get placed there for, they don't want to be there, but they have to. And often, after they get there, it's like people just kind of forget about them. And it's sad. It's too bad. And as part of that, a lot of those folk experience loneliness and sadness and depression when it just seems like nobody cares often. And they also feel useless and all of that. Well, but in experiencing that, when I go and when we go, in turn, we all witness real faith among people in the midst of all that. I mean, they may be lonely and down and out almost, but yet many, many, many of them still express faith in the Lord Jesus and in the God of their salvation. And it's encouraging to see that. It really is. So we go to be a blessing, try to be, but as they often say, when we leave, we take the blessing home with us. And it just happens again and again. So number one, the blessing of encouraging saints. Number two, the opportunity to give people to exercise their spiritual gifts. Many of the folk at the nursing homes grew up in church. As we say, they were pillars of their church. I mean, decades of faithful service to their churches, wherever they're from. And they love to sing, they love to give, they love to participate, they love preaching, they love to pray, they love, just like we do here at Anchor, we love all them things, and we do that, but at least three times a week, we have an opportunity to exercise those gifts, don't we? The folk at the nursing home, if they're fortunate, they have that opportunity maybe four times a month. That's about it. And so when they get that opportunity, you should hear them sing. You should hear them rejoice. And you should hear them, should watch them listen to the preaching and respond. It's great. And we love all that. So that's a good point. The number three, another asset of the ministry there is the burden of evangelizing the lost. Every now and then we can win. We help lead somebody, a patient there, to the Lord. Not very often. It's very challenging when people get really old in years to get them to change their ways and change things. It's real challenging, but every now and then. More often, we are able to evangelize the workers there, family members that do come and others, and that's a real blessing. Then you won't think this a blessing too much, but I do. Every time I go to a nursing home, to me, it's a reminder of death. But I know most of them people that are there, the only time they're going to come out is when they die. Down through the years, we've seen many, many, many nursing home patients die. And we've preached many funerals of nursing home people. And it's a reminder to me every time I go that one day I'm going to die and how I should redeem the time that I have and make good use of the time. Because one day I'm not going to be here to do it anymore. And you're not either. And so all of those are blessings to me. And I bring this up for a reason. Some of the greatest lessons of life I learned by people in the nursing homes. Some of the greatest lessons. I think I've told you this before. When we were young in Bible college up at Tabernacle in Greenville, we had to do something to stay busy in the service. So me and a fellow named Vic Boyer from North Carolina, we volunteered to go have nursing home services. Ellenberg Nursing Home in Anderson, South Carolina. So every Saturday morning, we'd get in our car, drive from Greenville to Anderson, and have service there at Ellenberg Nursing Home. Oh, one Saturday morning, we were there and had a good little crowd, maybe 15 or 18 people. And so I was getting ready to preach the message. And there was a lady behind me in a wheelchair, and she started crying out, "Somebody help me." I think I've shared this with most of you before. And so I said, I mean, you never know what to expect in the ministry at nursing home. You just have to deal with it. I said, and the Bible, "Somebody help me." I said, and the Bible, "Somebody help me." I said, "Ma'am," I was starting to get a little upset. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "if you'll just hush a little bit, let me finish preaching this message, I'll be glad to try to help you when it's over." Okay. I turned back around, Turn your Bible to, somebody help me. Somebody help me. And there was no way I was going to be able to preach that Saturday morning. So I turned around and I said, ma'am, what kind of help do you need? We're all waiting to find out. And she said with a real, you should see that look on her face, can you get me out of here? I said, ma'am, I promise. There's a promise. If you'll let me finish this message this morning, won't be very long, I promise to try to find somebody that will help you with that. Is that okay? She said, okay. Right? Okay. You sure? Yes, okay. In the Bible, somebody help me. And it just never did go on. But I got upset about that. And I just well closed my Bible and going on to the house. I tried to finish. She just kept screaming it. When we were in the car on the way home from Anderson, I got deeply convicted about something. And all I could hear in my mind going back to Greenville, from Anderson to Greenville, was somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I said, you stop this car. Let's go back. And I want to try to be a help to that lady best I can. I can't help her get out, but maybe there's some other way I can help her. Well, you know what that did? That kind of put the burden of nursing home ministry in my life. And that was in 1981, a long time ago. And so ever since then, we go to nursing homes and try to visit from time to time. And I hear something, I experience something that really has an impact on my life. A week and a half ago, maybe 10 days ago or so, I was at Life Care, Kelly. And during lunchtime, I think on Monday a week and a half ago or something like that, 2 weeks ago. And your mom was in the day room in there, Miss Margie. And somebody asked me about her today. I said, well, as far as I know, she's just the same as she's always been these past many years. And we all love Miss Margie. And I was in that day room back there, and Miss Margie was laying back in that chair she sits in, that chair that goes down, you know, I don't know what they call it. And there was another lady in a similar chair laying right beside her. And I can't think of that lady's name now. I wish I could. But when I got there, I call her Mama Margie. You know she's my adopted mama, don't you? And I got to talking with her and holding her hand. She got a tight grip, I tell you. She does. And I said, hey, Mama Margie, how you doing? And Kelly, she does like she just started mumbling something. You know, it couldn't make any sense. You know, I'm going to try to repeat it. Just mumbling sounds of some kind. And that lady sitting, laying there next to her, preacher, what did she say? I said, well, I don't know. Margie, what did you say? And she started, mumbling again. And that lady again, Kelly, she said, what did she say? I said, ma'am, I don't know. And a third time, the lady said, what did she say? I said, ma'am, I just don't know what she said. I know somebody that does know what she said. She said, who? I said, I'm sure Jesus knows exactly what she's saying. And that seemed to satisfy the lady. Sure satisfied me. And so, I don't know. But you know what? That phrase stuck in my mind. What did she say? What did she say? I want to take that thought. Look with me at 1 Samuel. You know the story in 1 Samuel. Look at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. Now that was the first problem, wasn't it? He had two wives. Name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penaniah. And here is the problem at hand. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was at Elkanah offered, he gave to Penaniah's wife and to all her sons, it's like rubbing it in, all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Let's stop reading right there for a moment and bow for prayer. Father, Thank you for the liberty this morning in the service and the good response. Now, Lord, we're back tonight, and you've laid these verses upon my heart. I ask you, Lord, to guide my lips and my thoughts. Help me to say something, Lord, that will encourage us all here tonight. And when we leave in a little while, to be better prepared to serve you in this old world that we live in. If there's anybody here that needs to do business for the Lord tonight, help them to do that at the time of invitation, if not before. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, and the message is really simple tonight. In fact, Brother Ralph and Miss Chris, they heard a very short form of this at the nursing home last Sunday. And so Sister Margie was sitting there, and her husband, Brother Aaron, Kelly's mom and dad. Well, I tell you, God got in that thing. And we had church. I mean, we had a revival that day, Ralph. We just had revival. And people responding well, and it was going good. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. But tonight, there's a message here I want to get into our hearts and our minds about dear woman named Hannah. She had a problem. And let me say, number one, Hannah was barren. But she was barren. Now, this was not her fault, was it? It was not her husband's fault, was it? It was not anybody's fault. She was barren. But whose fault was it? Well, if you're going to lay blame at anybody, look at the end of verse number 5, where the Bible says, but the Lord shut the womb. So this was God's doing, wasn't it? And when I read that, I pondered my spiritual life and how I want to see God do things in my own life and in your life and the life of our church. And sometimes things seem to be going well, Brother Tim. And other times, can I use the word, other times it just seems barren. And Lord, am I in sin? Is our church sinning? And, you know, I want the Lord to search my heart and change me if He needs to, and change you and change us all if the Lord needs to. But just maybe that could be the problem. Us, me, you. But you know what? It could be God working somehow. Could be. In Hannah's life, all she wanted was a baby. She couldn't have one because God said no. God shut up her womb. And by the way, you know how we stand around here on the abortion topic. I mean, Dr. Seiler used to say this years ago. He would say, a man and a woman. He said, a man will know a woman. And he'd do his fingers like this. A man will know a woman and God will say, live. And you know what? At the very moment of conception, child is conceived. Not a fetus, not a baby, but a soul. But God was working in their life, I suppose, and God had shut up her womb. She was barren. So that was a real problem for Hannah. You know what? It's a problem for me when I give out tracts. Yesterday, I got to witness to a lady at the gas station, and from Kentucky. I mentioned this in Sunday school, and her name is Elaine. I said, ma'am, you're just passing through. And I gave her the traction. Oh, thank you. I'm a Christian. I said, I see you're from Kentucky. What town? She told me. Where do you go to church? She told me. It's a good independent Baptist church there in her town in Kentucky. I said, y'all just use the King James Bible, don't you? Oh, yeah. I said, y'all don't have any of that contemporary thing. Oh, no, no. We like the old Southern gospel music, the hymn. And I said, well, what are you doing in Columbia? Her daughter has moved here. And she's come down the weekend to help her daughter. Her name's Elaine. And I said, well, Elaine, where are you going to go to church in the morning with my daughter? Where? And she said, well, I can't think of the name of the church, but it's one of them contemporary churches. She bowed her head like she regretted having to say it. I said, Sister Elaine, I promise you, if you'll come to Anchor in the morning, you'll be so much glad that gladder that you did. That's a good English. So much more glad that you did. And you know what? I just knew she was going to be here this morning. She wasn't. And I got a little depressed about that. I kind of felt bad. I thought, well, she'll be here tonight. And she's not here, is she? No. Well, who knows? She'll probably go back to Kentucky. I'll never see her again. Not just Elaine, but other people. We try to witness. We got tracts. We let people know about the Lord. And look, there's empty chairs in our church tonight. I'm not saying God is doing that. I'm not saying God's making people not come. Lord, God wants people to come. But I'm just saying is barrenness, either physically or spiritually, is a problem. And that we want God to do something about. So number one, she was barren. Number two, she was burdened. Look at verse number 6. And her adversary. Can you imagine this? An adversary is somebody that's against her. A critic. A complainer. Her adversary also provoked her sore. I mean, this adversary was rubbing it in. You can't have a baby. I got 5 or 6, and look, you ain't got none. That's wicked, isn't it? Her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. She was burdened about that, Hannah was. She sure was. And in verse 7, as she did year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept, she didn't eat. Now, I saw a little comment about that somewhere, and I wrote this down. A lesson well learned for all of us and things like this. Hannah knew how to respond with grace or to not respond at all. And the adversary was just bugging her about it. Hannah either would respond with grace, something like, just pray for me. Or she'd keep her mouth shut. And sometimes I think we would do well to learn that grace that Hannah exhibited right then and there with her adversary. So on and on it went. All right. Turn over to look at verse number 10. Not only was she barren and she was burdened, Hannah came to a point where she was broken. Look at verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul. I don't believe for a minute that Hannah was bitter against the Lord. I don't even think she was bitter against her adversary. I think the bitterness of soul means that her soul was broken. She was brokenhearted about that. She was. Have you ever been broken about something in your life? Such tragedy comes of some kind, and your spirit is just broken about it? I have. I have recently. Maybe you have too. Well, she was broken, and she did something about that. In verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, Oh, Lord of hosts, if... Now she's doing the right thing. She's going, praying to the one that can do something about this. Oh, Lord of hosts, in verse 11, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me. Oh, business is going to pick up. Sometimes we just need to pray unto the Lord. Remember me. I know if you pray sincerely like that, the Lord will, won't he? He did to the thief on the cross this morning, didn't he? Remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid. Now she's getting specific. A man child. She wanted a boy. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass as she continued praying. And here's where I'm getting with the whole message. Verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli the priest, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, verse 13, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Let's stop there a moment. Hannah, she's in deep, burdensome, broken prayer. She's at the altar of prayer. The Bible says this, that she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, her voice was not heard. And I can imagine Eli standing apart there watching this, maybe some others. And I wonder if Eli, either out loud in his heart unto the Lord, said, what does she say? What is she saying? As if he'd like to know. That lady at Life Care, Kelly, won't know what your mom was saying. I wanted to know too. It wasn't for ours to know. And I can imagine him, Eli, crying out maybe. What did she say? Unfortunately, after a moment of that, Eli had a thought he shouldn't have had. And look at the rest of the verse. Therefore, Eli thought she'd been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunk and put away thine wine from thee? Oh, and Hannah answered and said, now look again, look at her spirit, look at her response in grace. No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. And so I want to take just a moment now and let's ponder this a little bit. And sometimes when we get so burdened in prayer, sometimes our heart is broken and we know we need to pray to the Lord who can take care of whatever burden that is upon our heart. And we want to pray. We want God to hear us. We don't care if other people hear or not, but we're at a place of prayer. And if you've been like I have sometime in the past, I can't even think of words to pray. My heart is so broken and my spirit is in sorrow. And I'm trying to put words together and putting syllables together, trying to think of letters of a word to come up with the right proper words unto the Lord. And when it's like that, and words come out of my mouth. I want them to, but they won't come because I can't even think of what to pray. A broken relationship or a wayward child or a sick child. I remember Ray Lever's mother, Mrs. Lever. She was 101. I got the call that her son, Ray, had died. She was at Magnolia Nursing Home. And they said, Steve, you got to come and tell her about it. Why me? And on the way there to Magnolia, I said, Lord, what am I going to tell her? And I got there, and Miss Lever, when you walked into her room at the nursing home, she had a little book, and she required everybody who came to visit to sign your name in that book. And she said, hey, Steve, you better sign my book. I said, all right, Miss Lever, I'm signing your book. Well, Steve, it's not Sunday. What are you doing here? Well, she was a happy, spry lady. I said, Miss Lever, I've got to tell you something. What? And you know what? I couldn't hardly think of how to tell her. And I just did. I said, Sister Lever, your boy died this morning. And the boy, the tears were pouring down my eyes. And she started weeping. And she started screaming. And you know what? She was trying to think of something to say, but she couldn't think of anything. Then all she could say was, my boy, my boy, my boy. I guess maybe one of the greatest heartaches is for a mother or a father to lose a child like that in their old age. My boy. And then Miss Lever finally asked me a question. She said, Steve, why did my boy have to die before me? I said, Miss Lever, you know what? I couldn't think of anything to say. I said, we're just going to have to talk to Jesus about that. Well, that's just an example. All of us have been somewhere in a burden like that, but we don't even know how to pray. You know what? Pray we must. I want you to take your Bible and turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be bringing the message to a close. Romans chapter 8, and look with me at verse number 26. Romans chapter 8, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1202. Look here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Aren't you glad about that? We all have infirmities, don't we? Infirmities of sickness, infirmity of sorrow, infirmity of sadness, on and on it goes. Now watch. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know we need to pray. But the Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, look at this, with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what? Sometimes all you can do is groan. Oh. And at the nursing home, want to pray, you need to pray, and all you can do is groan. But when all you can do is groan, and somebody says, what did she say? And I'd say, I don't know, but our Savior knows. The Spirit of God knows, and God is going to answer that prayer. Well, when we got to that point in the nursing home last Sunday, I said, sometimes, if you can't think of what to pray in this sorrowful condition you're in, just pray Jesus. I got everybody. I said, y'all, pray Jesus. I'll do it. Jesus. Yeah, I didn't hear you. Jesus. Again. Again. And I turned around, Kelly. I said, Margie, did you understand what we prayed? And in the clearest voice I've heard her in years, what did she say? She said, yes. I had a shouting spell for a moment. If you'd asked me, what did she say? Yes! Yes! It excited me. Hannah was barren. Hannah was burdened. Hannah was broken. At the end of it, like Miss Margie was, Hannah was blessed. Back to your 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, now go to verse 19. Look at verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had gotten a prayer through to God. Eli might not have understood it. Her husband might not have understood it. But God understood it. And Hannah knew that he had. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped. When you know God has heard your prayer, it's time to worship before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. Dr. Seitler would say, Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and God said, live! And the Lord remembered her. And look at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. It started off bad, and Eli didn't know what she said. Might have questioned, what did she say? Eli, the Lord knows what she said, and God will remember her, and God did. What I'm trying to say in this, and for the 10, y'all come on up, Sister Jennifer. If you're ever so burdened in your heart about anything, family, anything, burdened, broken hearted, and you don't even know what to pray, you just take it to the Lord. God, what is that song that people sing? Tears are a language God understands, and I'm glad God understands a broken-hearted spirit, and God understands tears falling from your eyes, and God understands the groanings and moanings of your spirit. Jesus knows. Take it to Him and leave it there, and I promise you, God will remember you. And like Miss Margie, there'll come a time when in your soul you'll get that answer that you've been begging for. And your heart will rejoice. And maybe the only word that will now come out of your mouth is, yes, yes. And God has answered your prayer. Father, that's a simple thought tonight. Lord, you burned my heart for it. And so now I pray that the people, I hope they felt the same burden I have. Lord, there's people in our congregation right now that are undergoing great burdens in their life. And it could be that they prayed and prayed and prayed and begged and begged and begged to the point where they no longer know what to say. They no longer know how to pray. They just don't know. And maybe, Lord, it's times like that the Holy Spirit will intervene. And with groanings and utterings, take those tears, take those moans and groans from our heart, take them to the throne of heaven and present them to the Lord. And God, you'll understand and answer that prayer. With your head bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody out here to say, Brother Steve, would you just pray for me? I've got a burden like that. Lift up your hand. Let me see it. Anybody? There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. Pray for me, Brother Steve. Bring that burden to the Lord. Even if you don't know how to say it, just take it to the Lord. Leave it there. Father, you know the need now. In Jesus' name, amen.